episode. Seperti pesan, has got different category of scriptures. Let us see what they are. Open this chart. So the category of scriptures in the Smriti Prasthan are Vedangas, your Agamas. Puranas, and Pancharatras. Where is Pancharatra? Pancharatras. So Vedangas Smriti contains Vedangas, Agamas, and Puranas, and Pancharatras. This is a broad category of scriptures within Smriti. Within Smriti, these are the categories. Now let us see what these Vedangas are. Vedangas, Vedanga means what? The limbs of Veda. Anga means limbs. Vedanga means limbs of Veda. Suppose there is body. Can the body do any functions without the limbs? No. So if you want to do anything Vedic, you have to take support of the Vedangas. These Vedangas are the studies by which we can do something Vedic. That is why they are also Vedic. Like deity worship. Doing ding dong bell is deity worship actually. Well, but to do that, you need to take bath. So taking bath is also a deity worship. Because without taking bath, you can enter the deity room. So the same way, if you want to do something Vedic, then you have to be equipped with the Vedangas. So these Vedangas are, how many number?
Six.
What are they? Siksha, Vyakarana, Nirukti, Chanda, Jyotish, Kalpa. Now, Siksha means what? What is the meaning of Siksha? Siksha means phonetics. These days they call it phonics. Because you want to make it more stylish. That is why it's called phonics. Remember the phonics classes which happen in Bombay? The kids go to the class. Phonetics means the way you pronounce the alphabets. That is called Siksha. A, A, I, E, U, U, E, E. That is how you are taught. When you were a kid, master used to come with a cane. Until the cane is there, the fear is there, you will not pronounce properly. Because every baby, when it grows, and he gets accustomed to speak some childish. But if the cane is there, then it becomes serious. That is why the phonics teacher would come with a cane. Mathematics teacher would not come with a cane. But the language teacher used to come with a cane. When we were kids, we still remember the most terrific teacher was the English teacher or the Telugu teacher, whatever it is. Because until unless they create fear, you will not become serious. When you are serious, then you say, it happens. So, this is the first thing. That is how you become a human, isn't it? You have a language. And you speak that language properly. Prabhupada says a man is known by his speech. So this is what is. The training of speech is given right from childhood. Lot of concentration, lot of emphasis is given on pronouncing the alphabets properly. Even English. These Anglo-Indian teachers used to come to our schools. So they would say, pronounce A, B. If you don't, if you say B, then one. Slap, pat. If you don't beat children, that is what you find. Ha, ma'am. Dad. What is it, dad? He's dead or what? I'm going. They don't speak. These all the kids speak, they don't speak properly. Only those mothers who have beaten them in the childhood, those kids, they speak properly. These they don't do that. That is why they don't speak properly. The tongue, it's a big exercise for the tongue, especially for a kid, to speak something properly. So for that the cane should be, that is called siksha. Now after siksha, what is there? Now you have learned how to pronounce each and every alphabet properly. Now you learn how to put two alphabets together. The joining of two alphabets is called what? Grammar. You put two alphabets together to make a word. How does it happen? That is called grammar. Grammar is basically combination of alphabets that becomes words and sentences. So this is called grammar. That is called what? Vyakarana. So we all know every language has Vyakarana. The problem these days is none of them know any of the language. Neither they know their mother tongue. Neither they know English. Neither they know the local language in which they are speaking. Suppose, for example, a person from Karnataka comes to Bombay. He has lost touch with Kannada, so he cannot speak proper Kannada. And he is speaking Marathi outside or Hindi outside. But it is all slang, it is mixed. And we know very well how good English he speaks. So, none of them he knows. If you talk about English, he say, oh, English, you are not spoken much. What about the other language? Oh, that is what my friends speak. Your mother tongue is Kannada, I lost touch with it. In this way, none of the languages are known to anybody properly. This is a problem. And grammar, totally forget. Nobody bothers about grammar at all. Especially, some children say, I knew I am going to take science. In science, it doesn't matter. Grammar doesn't matter in science. Oh, I am going to take mathematics. In mathematics, grammar doesn't matter much. Is understanding more important? What is the use of grammar? So, there is somebody who is saying that, forget grammar, learn to speak language. Right? How can you speak without grammar? These days people are professing, now Sanskrit should be encouraged. How? You try to speak Sanskrit. Grammar and all, forget, it is too difficult. Right? What is this? How can you learn a language without grammar? Without grammar you cannot speak any. Okay, now next. After Vyakarana, then Nirukti means what? Where to use this word, that means contextual meaning. In the 6th chapter, Prabhupada says Atma has got many meanings. It may refer to body, it may refer to mind. So, which context, what word has to be used? And then, when you have many words, you know the meaning. Then you have to recite that particular sentence properly. That is known as chanda. Like Bhagavad Gita verses are Anushtup chanda. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yujutsava mamaka pandavas chaiva kimakurvata sanjaya. This is what? Is chanda. Bhagavatam is written in Brihati Chandra. How does it go? Janmadhyasya tovanmaya jitartasya itarata chartesha vigneswarat tene brahma hridayadi kavaye mahyanti yatsurayaha. This is what is Brihati Chandra. Like that there are so many chandas, different kind of chandas. You want me, I'll make you hear few different few chandas. So this chanda. And then after chanda, what is there? Jyotish. Jyotish means not going showing your hand everywhere. That's predictive astrology is only the lowest and only 2% of the entire science of astrology. Astrology is not just doing some prediction, what is going to happen to me, whether I'm going to get married or not. Whether going to my wife is going to stay with me or not. These days all the men are taking, tell me, is my wife going to be with me or not? Predictive astrology is only 2%. Jyotish means what? Time science. Jyotish is time science. Now you can do any activity when there is light. Isn't it? Who gives the light to this world? Sun. So who is the controlling deity of time? Yachakshuresha savitasa kalagrahanam raja samasta suramurti rasesha deja. Yes, yagneya. What is sun doing? On the order of Krishna. Brahmati samrita kala chakro. So you're getting a connection between Jyotish, sun and time science. So this is Jyotish. And then Kalpa. Kalpa means what? Ritual. Ritual means not something you do only in the deity worship. Ritual means how you dress, how you put tilak, how you sit, how you stand up, where you keep your pen. It's also ritual. You have to keep in your pen stand, pen in the pen stand, not the toothbrush. Pen in the toothpaste. That's ritual. Keeping things in proper position, that is called ritual. Isn't it? That means, he's very ritualistic. Good Prabhu, ritualistic. That means he knows where to keep what. Isn't it? He doesn't use a drinking glass for Achman. An Achman for drinking water. That is ritual. Somebody says, it happened. What happened is one, there's an Achman cup. Some pujari has brought because then. And one devotee just came, he put water in there and he drank. He ashram. you cannot understand. So this is too ritualistic. What is it too ritualistic? This is meant for a particular purpose. So doing things according to the purpose, that is called ritual. Okay, now this is called Vedanga. And for each of the section of Vedanga, there are different authors who have written books. Like Siksha, there is Panini. Vyakaran also Parani, Patanjali has written Vyakaran, there are many, many books like this. There is Nirukti, Amar Kosha, Kosha, like there are so many. There is Amar Kosha, there was a king called Amar. He compiled all the meanings of different words, Amar Kosha. There is Shabda Kosha. And there are so many different things. And there is Chanda. For Chanda also, there is very many laws of Chanda, and also there is Jyotish, Parashara has written, many people have written, just few are named here, that's all. And Kalpa Sotras are there, Dharma and Sulabha. Okay, so let us go to the second lesson. Read. In the beginning.
There are six aspects of knowledge in the Vedas known as Vedangas. First, Shiksha, phonetic science. Second, Vyakarana, grammar. Third, Nirukti, context or conclusive meaning. Chandas, meter. Jyotish, time science. Astronomy and astrology. Kalpa, rituals. The seer who have realized these aspects of knowledge from the Vedas have composed sutras, short but potent phrases which convey a lot of meaning on each of Vedanga. Kalpa sutras are of four categories, that is, Subhotra, collective sacrifices, Griha, family rituals, Dharma, occupational duties, and Sulba, building of sacrificial fireplaces, altars, etc.
Okay, wait. So I may say, Prabhuji, why do we want to know all these things? Hey, Krishna conscious, no? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy, that's what Prabhupada told. I think these are all material things. These are all, we don't follow these things. Now question is, how can you do anything Vedic without these things? And are we not following Veda? If you are following Veda, we should be doing this thing. And you say, no, where we have learnt all these things? Yes. By following what Prabhupada has told, you are automatically doing all these fixed things, spontaneously. First one, what is there?
Shrauta.
Shiksha. In the Bhagavatam class, what you do?
Recitation.
Before you start chanting the verse, what you do?
Word by word, we...
You, word by word. The speaker says one word, everybody repeats. What is that?
Phonetics.
That is Shiksha. You may say, Prabhupada, you don't care, Prabhuji. You can say Prabhupad, no problem. Doesn't matter. Sri Guru Cha Rana Padma. Rana Padma means wounded feet. So, Prabhupada, bhakti is more important. Okay? There are many stories to prove bhakti is more important than chanting, but there are many stories to prove that chanting is also part of bhakti. Isn't it? You just don't quote one story and then conclude to a Siddhanta. Okay? So, that is six. And then, what did Prabhupada say? Then what is the thing, next thing?
Translation. Word to word meaning.
Then is word to word meaning. In word to word meaning, two things come. One is?
Context.
Both are there. Vyakarana is also there.
Context.
Nirukti is also there. Both are there. Why? Because when the word to word meaning, you have?
Connection.
One word has been divided into two. The division is already done, isn't it? And the meaning is given. So, Vyakarana and Nirukti are done by in our organization, in the Bhagavatam class, when you do the word to word meaning. Okay? Then after that, what we do? Recite the words in a particular meter. Prabhupada used to tell Pradyumna to do that. He would not ask anybody else to do that. Why? Because he knew. He knew very well what would happen. He would not recite properly. That is a Prabhupada or Pradyumna. You chant. Why? Because Prabhupada knew he can chant nicely, so he set an example to all of them. This is how you should chant. This is how you should chant. That is how Prabhupada established the principle of chanda. Now, then later there is? Where is Jyotish in our organization? 4:30 Mangalarti. 7:15 Darshanarti. Why didn't you do Mangalarti at 6 o'clock in the evening? Jagannath Puri, they addressed the Lord at 10 o'clock, most opulent way. Why didn't you do that? Why have Bhagavatam class after Guru Puja? Why not before Guru Puja? Why not Bhagavatam class at 4:30 and after that Mangal Arati? Why not do Japa later, first have Bhagavatam class? Why? So he has given a particular time for doing everything. Prasadam at particular time, this at particular time. Why? Because it's all Jyotish. It all comes under Jyotish. Then Kalpa. Why don't you wear your gamcha and come in front of the Lord? Why wear dhoti kurta and come? It's a ritual, na? All ritual provide. Bhakti is more important. Why don't you keep your shikha just, don't tie it and then just come? And you ask, oh yeah, I took a bath that is not dried up. Some people give this excuse also. Then what is it? Very bold. Why you don't do that? That's ritual, na? Bhakti is more important, isn't it? That is ritualistic for people. Actually, we are the most ritualistic people. Anywhere, anybody says, hi, iskon wala. Why? Because we follow a particular
ritual.
Ritual, isn't it? Huh? Don't just criticize ritualistic brahmanas. We are the most ritualistic people. You just will not go without tilak, without particular day. Everybody is, Brahm. Isn't it? So, ritual is not wrong. Ritual is a habit which keeps you in mode of goodness. That is kalpa. You dress in a particular way. Everybody, you just see it's all uniform, it's pakka. You can see from far, it's a iskan devotee. Because you follow a certain pattern. A pattern which keeps us in mode of goodness, by which we can do things on time and properly. That is what our life is meant for. So, when we say ritual, means without understanding the purpose of the ritual, if somebody does, then we say, oh, it's all ritual. Bhakti is more important. Bhava is more important. But, without following a particular ritual, particular vidhi, it is very difficult to develop bhava. Okay? In this way, Prabhupada has spontaneously, he has put the Vedangas in our routine. Has done it. So, you may say, oh, these are all like, you know, Vedic, nothing to do with us. No. These are all things to do with us. Okay? Yes.
Sometimes one verse can be chanted in multiple meters, or is that something that devotees are just made of?
There are, but there is also standard for that. There is a standard for that.
You chanted Dharma Kshetra, Guru Kshetra.
There are some variations. Definitely there are some variations. See, variations can be there, but standard is always there. Like you have Mangalarti. There is a particular standard in which you chant the Mangalarti. In that, there are some variations. Even in music, you have Ragas and there is Ragini. And there is Ragaputras. Means the sons of Ragas. Anybody done music here? You know, huh? You know it. Raga Ragini and Ragaputras. There are how many Raga Raginis? They are known as 72 Melakartha Ragas, original. And from there, they are sons. So, they are modifications. Like the son looks like the same as the father and mother, but there is slight difference. And there may be a particular raga in which there may be different tunes. This is for about song I am talking about. There is something for chanda also. Chanda means the meter. So there is raga and there is chanda. So for example, I will just show. Krishna Karanamutam. Maybe. The first one is Shardula Vikriditam.
Aste Svastaruni Karagra Vilasat Kalpa Prasuna Prudam Vastu Prastuta Veduna Dalahari Nirvana Nirvyakulam Srastastasta Irudhani Vilasat Kopi Sahasravritam Hastanyastanatapavargamahinodharam Kishokrati
is Chanda.
Chaturyaikanidhanasivachapalapangachatamandaram Lakanyamrutavichilalishadrisham Lakshmikatakshadrisham Kalindipurinangadam Pranayinam Kamavatarankuram
There may be variation in the this standard. Little bit here and there, there can, it's allowed. Standard what I said. That is standard. Then Vishnu Maharaj is the person who actually introduced this tune which we do in ISKCON. Karma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre. It is actually not Chanda, it is Raga. It is sung. The tune what we do in ISKCON is more song, not Chanda. Now that Chanda changed. So when the Acharyas, when they write predetermining the Chanda. Predetermining the Raga. So if they already have predetermined the Raga, in that they write it. Now these days the modern musicians, somebody writes a song and they give it to a musician and you give a tune to it. So that is why it is an appeal. So original writing itself is done in a particular chanda, a particular meet. So you have to see how many syllables are there. You have done this chanda, how to recognize the chanda of a poem. You done, bro? You must have done. No. Lagu, halu, you made it? You did not study Telugu?
I studied Telugu, but that was only 2 years, 6th, 7th,
8th. That's all. In Hindi, in different number, you don't have this? How does lagu, halu, one, you want, you like that? It's in Hindi also, it is there. Marathi also, it will be there. Any language, if you study, it will be there. Of course, they have now diluted the quality of the language, even the textbooks also. During our time, the most difficult subject was literature. To write exam, Telugu exam or English or Hindi, that was the most toughest paper. Now what they have made, it very, they diluted the entire thing. So the same thing, which is done in Brihadi Chanda, he does it in a little bit different way. He has added some raga to it. This is Narasimha Nakastuti. Expert musicians can do that. This is actually Brihadi Chanda. You have to stop there, but he can further because he's a musician, he can do that. That license is given. If you read Vishnu Thakur's commentary, he says that it's a poetic license. Sometimes it's a poetic license. So when you're a learned person, he has the authority to do that kind of, he can maintain the standard even though you seem to be deviating from the standard. But it is true. You should learn that. One of the reasons I make everybody recite 108 verses before all Bhakti Shastri classes is this, at least chant. A whole philosophy is what? Chanting, isn't it? The whole philosophy is chanting. And all other things in the Vedas, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, are expansions of Hare Krishna Mahamantra only. Since they are expansions of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, they are non-different from? So if you say we chant properly, it applies to? Shloka also. It applies to shloka also. Sometimes, I went to Mayapur, many during that they had Kartik, now the parikrama is organized. Some Westerners,
huh? Recently.
Yeah, recently. So some devotees, they started, the Western people are there, most of the many international devotees were also there. They're playing harmonium and they're singing. So a few of the congregation devotees, their daughters, they also started singing the same tune. Hare Krishna, like that. Then I scolded. I mean, 6th or 7th standard. I told, by they singing like that, they will be delivered. Because that is what they can do. Because for them to say Hare, it will take another janma for them. Krishna will think that they are calling me when they sing. But when you do it, trying to imitate, what will happen? Why are you doing that? Why are you picking up a wrong thing? They doing something wrong will deliver them, because that is what they can do. Even though it seems to be very nice here and all this thing, but pronunciation is wrong. But we don't want to criticize them, because that is what can deliver them. Because their tongues, by birth, are not designed to pronounce these things. But whereas your tongue is designed for that. And now if you try to do something, their tongue is like very jada, it cannot twist the way you can do that, because you have spoken Hindi, you have spoken Marathi, you have spoken Gujarati, Telugu, so your tongue is very flexible. So you can clearly pronounce every word properly without losing the tune. You can sing the same tune, but don't use the same pronunciation. But what we do, when you're the congregation, especially the girls, they have this problem. Yeah, Westerners are doing something, so we should also do the same thing. And they go on with the harmonium, they sing something very awkward. So that is a problem. Okay, these six things are there. That is called Vedangas. These Vedangas have to be taught. When that is why Gurukul, once you put a child in the Gurukul, these are the first things which are taught to Gurukul. Any child is taught these six things. Philosophy in the later. If you tell the child, you are not this body, your spirit soul. Yes, yes, I am not this body, spirit soul. Again, you go out and then forget it. So, what do you teach to him? How to sit, how to stand, how to chant, how to speak. And that can only come when you have a stick. I never went to Gurukul, but in our small town, in our village, master means one who comes with a stick. That stick is there, then everybody will listen. Now it's a crime, it seems, to scold a child. How will you learn, tell me? Already people are born in mode of ignorance and passion. Hardly people have in goodness. Hardly children have in goodness. And that too, if you don't have a stick, how will you learn? Without stick, nobody can learn. No child will learn. Impossible. some girl children are there, somebody who is born in some Brahmin families, they may, but still, stick has to be there. It requires beating also has to be there. Any teaching, dance, music. Next to our house there was one music teacher used to come. 4 o'clock in the morning, he would pour water. 8-9 year old children, mostly girls, used to pour water on them and then sing all these things. Any mistake, they should just do like this, and they used to scream like anything. And because of that kind of training, they have become such high class singers. Wow, how do you think all these singers were coming who were in the past? How tough it was for the singing? Because they had trained, that quality came because of that kind of tapasya which they undergone. When people join at the age of 24, 25 and then to really beat them is very difficult. But still that mood has to be maintained, the CS has to maintain in section. Okay, now next is Agamas. After Vedangas, next is Agamas. Read that line, read that paragraph according.
According to the different level of conditioned consciousness, there are instructions in the Vedas for the worship of the different controllers with the aim of reaching different destinations and enjoying different standards of sense enjoyment. Agamas, enumerated scriptures, are books which are classified into 5 for this purpose.
Okay. What is the second verse of Bhagavatam? Third one. Nigama Kalpataro. There is Nigama and there is Agama. Another way of classifying the Shrutis and Spratis is this thing. Shruti is called Nigama. Spriti is called Agama. Agama means emanated scriptures. The thing from which everything emanates from, that is known as Nigam. The thing which has emanated, that is called Agama. So the original 4 Vedas, they are known as Nigama. So from the original 4 Vedas, something has come out, that is called Agama. Now these Agamas are categorized into 5. Why these 5? Because there are 5 levels of hierarchy of source of levels of hierarchy of source. Source means what? From where everything comes from. So if you go and ask someone, anybody in this world in general, where everything comes from, what is the source? There is some energy is there. First realization of the source is energy, because everything he finds is energy. That is why I say we talk about energies only. Water energy, electrical energy, that energy, this energy, money energy, energy, only see energy. So that is called Shakta consciousness, Shakti, Shakta. They are Shaktas. That is the lowest source, lowest level of source of energy. That is why you find in Bengal they worship Shakti, many places. That is why according to different levels of conditioned consciousness, there are instructions in the Vedas for worship of different controllers with the aim of different destinations, enjoying different standards of sensing enjoyment. So, they see that Durga, Shakti, she is the ultimate controller. From everything she comes from only. Even Vishnu comes from him only, Ganesha comes from him only, everybody comes from him only, her only. The Shakta scriptures talk about how the 10 incarnations came from the 10 fingers of Vishnu, 10 fingers of Durga. Scriptures talk about it. In Dashera, 10 days, each incarnation came from 10 fingers of Durga. Scriptures talk about it. You say, how is Prabhuji? Durga is devotee of Vishnu, na? Why he cannot come out or what? That is our answer. He can come out anywhere. When he can come out of the nostril of Brahma, Durga's fingers are better. Isn't it? So, yeah, that is wise to understand. But if a normal person says, yes, yeah, Durga, from her fingers only Vishnu came. So ultimately Vishnu took the Shakti from Durga only. So there are Shakta people who argue like this, and they quote scriptures also. But for them Durga is supreme. Why? Because there they say Durga is supreme. It's true. For them Durga is supreme because to satisfy their desires, Durga is the most convenient deity. That is why for them Durga is like a child. Then he wants to eat ice cream. Father is not giving. The uncle comes and gives him. For the child, who is supreme?
Uncle.
Nah, there is nobody like uncle. Father really. The uncle is so nice. Prabhupada told a story like that old lady in the village who lost her, whose fields were taken away by the sarpanch. You remember the story? Huh? So this old lady, she was harassed by the sarpanch. And she was just confused, she was saying what to do. The one day collector came to the village and then saw all the records, took all the complaints. Immediately called the sarpanch and told, what is this you are doing? Give her her part back, her fields back. The sarpanch was very interesting. Then the old lady became very happy and told the collector, I'll bless you that you will become a police wala. I'll bless you that you will become a... Because from in her concept, one who gets, protects her, or the government person who comes and protects her is what?
Police wala.
She doesn't know that he's a collector. She only knows the constable to supreme. Isn't it? So in the same way, people, according to their desires, they consider somebody to be supreme. One who can fulfill my desire is supreme. So now the question arises, so the methodology of worshipping Durga is explained in a category of scriptures called Shakta Agamas. So they see source, which, and then now we find the energy is there, but we find in this world, energy, where is it? I cannot see that Durga is there and energy is coming out of her. Yes, I see the sun. It is actually the sun gives energy to everyone. That is why we should worship sun. So they are Shauras. Especially starting from this area of Dandakaranya, end of Dandakaranya. It's almost the end of Dandakaranya. Silvasa is the end of Dandakaranya. Vapi is the end of Dandakaranya. From this area, all the way till Egypt, Pakistan, Gujarat, entire that whole area full of Shauras, worshippers of sun. Parsis, they are sun temple. Saurashtra comes from the word Shaura. They are all worshippers of sun because they found that sun is the visible source of everything. And anybody in this world, you find they are all getting energy from sun, we should worship sun. And there is a methodology to worship sun god that methodology are explained in the Shaura Sutra, Shaura Shastras. And then they see, here is, this sun is moving. Who is making the sun move? There must be somebody who is beyond sun. Who is making this sun? So they are Ganapatyas. They worship Ganapati. And to worship Ganapati, there are scriptures called Ganapatya. So those who worship demigods, do you think they are worshipping demigods? Do they know what they are doing? Are they following those agamas? Putting one heart to Ganapati, oh Ganapati, take this mouth, Jai Jai, it doesn't make. Ganesha is not there. Do you think Ganesha is so stupid or what? If at all you want to worship Ganesha, there is a procedure. What is there? Where is it mentioned? Ganapatyagamas. There was Ganapatyas. Maharashtra, Karnataka, they are Ganapatyas mostly. Very, very famous Ganapati. Now he's come to Gujarat also. But ultimately it is mostly Maharashtra, Karnataka, he is very famous. Because they are Ganapatyas. They are more advanced in their understanding of the source of energy. Okay? Now after Ganapatya, how we find anything grows in this world is destroyed. Ultimately, who is the most powerful person? If suppose somebody does something, somebody comes and destroys, that means that person is more powerful, then only can destroy. So then they are Shaiva. Sandra, Tamil Nadu, Shaiva. They see Lord Shiva to be the most superior person, Shaiva. So how do the people worship Shiva? Shaivagamas. They consider him to be the... Then comes Vaikhanasagamas. No. We find that even Lord Shiva, though he is destroying everything, but still, he himself has to meet destruction. And ultimately it is Vishnu who is the ultimate source. So the Vedic way of worshipping Vishnu are mentioned in the Vaikhana Sagamas. Vedic way of worshipping Vishnu is mentioned in the Vaikhana Sagamas. If you go to some South Indian temples where administration is proper, they write in the board, we worship according to Vaikhana Sagamas. Some part of the worship is from this Pancharatra. They write. At least there are some people who are executive officer intelligent. And they want to give some kind of explanation to people what we are doing here in the temple. So the Vedic way of worshipping Vishnu is based on which Agamas? Vaikhana Agamas. In this way, these are the five Agamas which talk about glorifying, worshipping different deities, and these deities have hierarchy based on their source. As simple as, give you a small example, if you ask a baby, where did the milk come from? Bottle. Then he grows up, starts walking, and says, hey, mommy is taking the milk from the fridge. Milk comes in the fridge. After some time he goes to play and he finds the milkman is giving the milk. It doesn't come in the fridge, it comes from the milkman. Milkman's can is the source of everything. Then he goes further and he finds what? Dairy. He goes to dairy. Ultimately he sees a cow. Achcha, milk comes from the cow. So it is evolution of one's consciousness based on where everything comes from. And the deities, who is the controlling deity for everything. In this way, the worship was also. Now, those who are not Vedic, what about them? They are like outcast Vedic. Though the knowledge which is given to them is also Vedic, But those who are not Vedic means those who are not within Varnashrama Dharma. Those who cannot follow Varnashrama Dharma. What is scripture for them? Read further.
For those who are below the standard of Vedic purificatory process, Lord Shiva gave the Tantra Shastras. These have two general classifications, right and left. While the right aspect contains regulations of purification for those who are grossly engaged in meat-eating, intoxication and illicit sex, the left aspect contains low-class activities like black magic, etc.
So you see the chart, it is there, clear? Pragamas is Tantra Shastras, is light, right and left. Now, Lord Shiva is the most compassionate person. And in all the category of scriptures, you name it, right from the Tamasic Tantra Shastras, like black magic, till Bhagavatam, he is the main speaker. He's the main speaker in all aspects. Because he caters to all kinds of living entities. That is the speciality of Lord Shiva. He sees these people are not fitting into Varnashrama, so those only who can follow Varnashrama Dharma can follow Agamas. They have to be born in that family, not just follow Varnashrama. Only when a person is born in Varnashrama principle, they can follow these Agamas according to their social situation. They cannot just follow anything. If one is not born in a Brahmin family, he cannot worship the deity. If one is not born in a particular family, he cannot do the particular service. Then, what about those who are not born in Varnashrama? For them, Lord Shiva, what did he give?
Tantra.
Give what? Tantra Shastras. These Tantra Shastras are two categories. One is right and left. These right Tantra Shastras, they are like you find in some jungles and some villages, they worship some deity, do something. They worship. That means they are like into sorts of meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. But there should be some methodology by which they can be regulated, isn't it? So the regulation of these four things for those people who are not in Varnashrama, that is known as Tantra Shastra. And for those people who are more degraded, like morning we are talking about black magic, the speaker for all these things, who is he? Not only speaker, he is a deity for them also. Maniya is a Shiva temple. It is actually not a Shiva temple. You remember I was speaking, somebody told it is a Shiva temple. I told yesterday night, no? I told it is a Guliga. He is not Shiva, he is Rudramsha. He is a person who is a master of all the security guards. I told the security guards. Because security guard, like generally the security guard definition is, the local Gunda who has got many followers, you make him a security guard. So all the Gundas, means in subtle, black magic people and all, the head is this Guliga, is Rudramsha. So you make him the in charge, you satisfy him, idhar nahi janega, udhar jaake karo. So he'll not allow them inside. If he's not happy, then what? Aaj idhar karo. Like that. So morning when we are coming back, what did he say? Is Prabhuji?
Ladies do black magic.
What did yesterday night, what did they say? They are thinking it is Shiva temple. It is not a Shiva temple, it is Guliga. It's a Amsha of Lord Shiva, who is the master of all the subtle elements going on in this area. And sitting on different places, different things are there. But ultimately, it is he who does all the things, Lord Shiva, Adamsha. He has given them the scripture so that they follow a particular thing. And if they don't follow what Lord Shiva has told, means they use it, misuse it, they'll be destroyed. There's so many things about that. I not try to speak about it. It's a very, very tamasic, very low class thing. It can be done by anybody who learns. There, the birth is not a criteria. You don't have to be born in a particular thing to learn the tantras. These tamasic tantras. There's some Brahmins who can do, there's some Kshatriyas who can do, anybody. But be very cautious, don't learn that. Yes.
Like here we are saying that these are things when given according to one's birth,
what
they could do. But when we speak outside, we say that this caste system, referring to Bhagavad Gita, what Lord says, that it's not based on birth, it's based on quality and activities. Then how to understand?
We'll come to that point. See, for the age of Kali, birth is not such an important thing because there is nobody performing Garbhadana. But in the previous ages, when Garbhadana was practiced, birth was a criteria. Like a doctor's son, though he is not a doctor, but he has got more opportunity, facility to become a doctor. More inclination, more inspiration, naturally, no? Like you find even these days also, a CA would want his son also to be a doctor would also want to his son to be a doctor, isn't it? Natural. So he is not a doctor, he is not a CA, but there is more inspiration and inclination for that, isn't it? So the way you reject birth as a criteria, what we generally do, it is overdone. Overdone means more than what is really he is supposed to be, isn't it? Definitely you have qualities. You are born in a particular family, you are seen, you are living in a particular, you will definitely have those inclinations, isn't it? Anyway, that we will talk further when it comes to Pancharatra, why Pancharatras and all these things. Okay? Next paragraph.
Point of view of common human activity, sense gratification is the basis of material life. To cater to this aim, there are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. The Karmakanda path involves routine activities to gain promotion to better planets. Using the methodology from the first five Vedangas, the Kalpa Sutras explain this path.
Yeah.
Upasana Kanda involves worshipping different controllers for the promotion to their planets. The Agamas explain this path. Jnana Kanda involves realizing the absolute truth in the impersonal future for the purpose of becoming one. The Upanishad explains this path. Though these paths are all from the Vedas and the Vedas do not explain them, one should not think that this is all the Vedas have. The real purpose of the Vedas is to gradually push one in the path of self-realization to the point of surrender in the devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna.
It is very clear. Self-realization. No need to explain much. Speak on this. Okay, then lesson 3. Now, we discussed about Shruti and Smriti. In Smriti, we discussed about Vedangas, Agamas, Tantras. Okay? Now, one thing is left over, that is Puranas. That we'll discuss later, because it's a huge subject. Now, Shruti, Smriti is over. Now, what is the next one?
Nyaya.
Lesson 3. Upanishads and Darshanas. Veda, Vedanta and Sikh system of philosophy. Upanishad means receiving knowledge while sitting near the teacher.
Yes.
These are conversations between self-realized souls and their students on the subject matter of the Absolute Truth. The philosophical aspects of all the important processes and practices of knowledge, known as Vidyas, that are given in the Vedas are discussed in the Upanishads. Veda means knowledge and Anta means end. Upanishads are known as Vedanta, end of knowledge.
Okay. Now these Upanishads, they are part of Shruti. Part of Shruti. Some people, they categorize the Upanishads in the part of Nyaya. So there is nothing wrong in that, because they are the subject matter of discussion for Nyaya. They are the subject matter, the discussion of Nyaya. That is why sometimes they are categorized as Nyaya Prasthan, and sometimes they are not categorized as Nyaya Prasthan. They are categorized as Shruti. But originally we should understand the Upanishads are Shruti. So for our discussion sake, we will take Upanishads to be Shruti. Shruti. They are not part of Nyaya. Okay? Now Upanishad. What is the meaning of Upanishad? Why these Upanishads are there and what is it all about? Why this Karma Kanda, this Upasana Kanda, this Jnana Kanda, which is primarily made of Upanishads? Why is it so? The whole system of Vedic literatures is like a net to bring a person to understand, I need to go back home, back to God. I need to go back home, back to God. If a sage, he goes to his king and then tells, your king, the goal of life is to go back home, back to God. The king will laugh. That's all for you. You take care of that work. What donation you want, tell, I'll give you. That's what it is. You go to a donor in Juhu and tell him, our life is meant to serve the Lord and we go back home, back to God. It's not for all these things, all temporary souls. He says, laughs at you and says, okay, Swamiji. That's what it would say, isn't it? Huh? He did not understand what you are saying. And even foolishness to tell those things to them. So, now a sage would come into the king's court and he starts saying, your father was like that, great grandfather was like that, now you are there, you're going to flourish your dynasty, you conquer the entire world and that and this. And the king is getting puffed up. Yeah. Then he says, yes, I'll conquer the world. So he has already made him puffed up. Says, yes, see, there is a procedure for that. Yes, tell me, what is the procedure? Because he's interested in conquering the world. says that for that you need to do Ashwamedha Yajna. Yes, I'll do it. How to do? The sage says, you have your priest, he will tell you. He says, yes, my priest, please tell, minister, please tell how to do that. He says, your grandfather did, great grandfather did, that happened, this happened, even Indra came to that Sava, Ashwamedha Yajna. Yes, I will also do something like that. This king is now getting. Then for that, he says that you should not have any anxiety from your enemies outside and inside. Then he says, is it? The king says, I am in anxiety always. First you should be like that. Then, when your kingdom is, everybody is very peaceful, you have no enemies within your country and outside the country, that is the time you can go in search for the horse. Only then that horse will be visible to you. Not every horse can be sacrificed. King is said, yes. How to do that? The only way is to please the Brahmins. By pleasing the Brahmins, everybody will rever you. You will get so much of punya that nobody can be your enemy inside or outside. What does he do? He starts ruling the country with all the rules and regulations, and he pleases the Brahmins, he follows the instructions of the Brahmins, his senses are controlled now. Now what he wants to become? The ruler of the world, emperor. For that this Brahmin, he has to listen to what Brahmin says. Now this is the technique of bringing the king under control and making work, making the proper administration. A king does proper administration so that he can get more and more kingdom, more and more. Now he does for maybe 10, 15 years. Now everybody is peaceful. He says, now the priest says, you can go to find the horse. He goes on different things, and then all of a sudden he finds a horse after 5 years, maybe 20 years are over. Now he says, then what to do? Now horse has come. For that he says, you should build a pandal like this, you should do this thing, you should call the Brahmins, you should invite all the kings whom you have conquered, who are your friends, and you should invite all the demigods, you do these rituals, and for that you should fast, you should only eat at this time, you should not eat these things. Here is a big regulation. How to do the Ashwamedha Yajna. The king is doing all this Ashwamedha Yajna. By the time Ashwamedha Yajna gets over, it's already 5-6 years more. He has conquered and become an emperor. Conquered and become emperor, then he's very happy. That is the time sage comes again and says that he glorifies him. You are Raja Adi Raja, you are that, you are this, you are this. And the king is so happy. Wahaha. Then he says, it's a time, my dear king, for you to give your throne to your son. He has grown up. Actually, your son is more qualified than you. Father wants to listen to that, actually. When somebody says, your son is so qualified, the father likes it very much, because the father thinks he's me. Yes, my dear son, you are qualified. Tell me when we should do the Pattabhishekam. Then I should make him the king. We'll arrange for it. He has not ruled the country. Now, the son takes over the kingdom. Now he says, now what is my duty? That you come to me, you meet me in that forest, I'll tell you. Now he goes to the forest. Sit down. All these years sitting up, no? That is why he did not tell anything. Now you sit down. He sits down. And that is the time the sage speaks Upanishads. Now, there, he becomes the king. Another sage goes there and does the same thing to him. This is how. I just making a picture out of it, whole point. It's very difficult to get karma kanda, gyana kanda, and upasana kanda, what it is. So it's a plot. It's a plot established by the Supreme Lord through the Vedas, so that a person comes to the point of hearing knowledge from a sage. That is the time he understands, yes, why is it so? I'm going to die. I should now do something. Body is temporary. He starts understanding that. So he is sitting next to his spiritual master. He is a sage. If he starts spelling all these things, Upanishads, when he went to the court of the king, do you think the king would hear? No. When somebody is too much puffed up with power and pride, somebody is very miserable. Somebody is very miserable. Somebody is too puffed up, somebody is too miserable. At that time, don't speak knowledge to them. Suppose somebody died, father died, son is crying, oh, you go and tell. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jatasya Dhruva Vrityur. This Bhagavad Gita talk gives his knowledge. He looks at it, this is the thing which speaks about this, I'll not take it. Aapki pitaji ki atma shanti ke liye thoda sa sau Gita baatiye. Is it true? Okay, I'll do that. Isn't it? So, speaking knowledge is not for everyone. It is for inquisitive. One who is not right, having the pride, neither is too miserable, like Narada. When he went to Angira, and went to that Chitraketu, he had excessive desire. You speak knowledge, it is affecting him. And after that, Chitraketu got a son, and when he died, he had excessive. Do you think Narada could tell, convince? Narada could not teach to him what is becoming anybody else. Only when his son spoke, then he heard. So, this knowledge of Upanishads is not meant for everyone. You have to be qualified, you have to make the person qualified to hear that. Some people say, no, we just preach, then we will become devotees. Bhagavad Gita course, you do preaching, but that is meant for any very special kind of audience. In Life Membership they preach, that is also meant for some kind of audience. So that gradually, they come out by doing service, they get the Sukruti, they come to the point of hearing and understanding what you are speaking. Isn't it? So, we have this thing also, in a different way, that's all. You have somebody, MA or MP, they comes. I ask him to sit in Bhagavad Gita class and you speak to him. Yeah, he's pumped up with so much. Gradually you know, garland him, and once he loses the elections, he comes to you. Swamiji, kya karebi? Bhagavad Gita padhiye, shanti milegi. Then you understand, ye sahi baat hai. Isn't it? So, it's very... Okay, now, these Upanishads, they summarize everything which are discussed in the Vedas called Vidyas. That is, the Upanishads, they are known as Vedanta because they are the end of Veda. So, like the king who did everything Vedic on the advice of the Rishi, but at the end, what did he do? He heard the Upanishads. So, the end of Vedic literatures, they are known as Vedanta, and these Upanishads, they are known as Vedanta. They are known as Vedanta, okay? Not sutras. Vedanta sutras are different. We will come to that. What is Vedanta sutra? We will discuss later. Okay, read.
In the Upanishads, the description is more or less negation of material conception of everything, up to the Supreme Lord. It is very important to note that there is no denial of the Supreme, no denial of the spiritual absolute transcendental conception in the Upanishads. The purpose of Upanishads is to philosophically establish the personal feature of absolute truth as transcendental to material names, forms, qualities and actions.
Okay, this point we have discussed because you added the question. Then Upanishads mostly talk about the who is not God. There are two ways of giving a description of a person. So, if I had to describe someone, your name probably?
Prem Sindhu Gaurangadas.
Prem Sindhu Gaurangadas. I would describe him. I can say, one who doesn't have specs, one who doesn't have jeans pant, one who doesn't have that, one who doesn't have this. I also description of him only. We are describing somebody, we are describing only. I am seeing him and telling him who he is not. But this process of naiti, naiti will not, by this process, you will not be able to conclude who is he. So if you want to conclude who is he, you have to hear direct descriptions. Now, if why don't we speak anything directly about him? Why give indirect description? Why give indirect descriptions? Tell me.
It doesn't become confused later.
No, why? Why talk indirect? Why give indirect descriptions? Yeah, you are coming to the point, but elaborate on it.
To make sure that people don't misunderstand it.
Because if you talk direct descriptions about him only, you don't talk about indirect descriptions, there may be a person who is similar to him. And you may think both are same. Like, if you talk only direct descriptions of Krishna, Krishna's eyes are very beautiful like lotus, his hair is curly, and all descriptions are fine. Then you find some girl who is like that, or some boy who is like that. And you know, beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. When you are loving somebody, then automatically that person becomes actually Krishna. I cannot live without you. What does that mean? Actually, the words "I cannot live without you" is "mat prana nata save napara." It's only meant for Krishna. And you are turning into somebody. It means what? You think actually is Krishna? Prabhupada used to give the example of a mother who loves a son who is blind, and then says, names him Kamal Lochan. The blind son. Not because he has got eyes like, you know, lotus or something like that. It is because of her love. She goes. So that is what happens. So you may start comparing. Out of you, actually, the eyes of this world, the beauty of this world, it is like you cannot even compare to Krishna. Actually, there is no beauty. It seems to be beautiful. But because of your affection, because of your love and for that particular person, you think that, you know, Krishna's descriptions and these are so same by Krishna. That is why. First, negative descriptions are given. Who is not Krishna? First thing is, he is beyond the modes of nature. And we say, who is not Krishna? He doesn't have hands, he doesn't have legs. He doesn't have death. His body is made up of Satchitananda. So that is why these descriptions are there in Upanishads.
There are 108 Upanishads as accepted by the disabling succession. Among them, the following are considered as topmost.
Actually, how many are there? 1130. Out of which, how many are left over?
220
are left over. Among that, what are the most important? Among them, most important are? Why? This level only? Because Shankara gave commentary on this. That is why these 11 are targeted. Just imagine, when Shankara gives commentary, that means it is something. That is why all the Vaishnavacharya say, oh, you are given commentary, we will also give. Because we have to prove what he has told is wrong, Mayavad. That is why these 11 are, if somebody doesn't give commentary on these 11, he cannot be accepted as Sampradaya. Either they should have a commentary or they should accept a commentary written by somebody as their listing. These 11 Upanishads, Vishnu Sahasranam, Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Sutras. 4 books need to be commented on. If you don't comment, you should say, this commentary is our commentary. Means we accept that commentary as standard. That is the thing. Like Swami Narayan. He established himself as a Sampradaya. Sajaran Swami. But he has not written any commentary. But he has clearly told in his Sikshapatri, we are followers of Sri Vaishnavas, we accept Sri Bhashya. He writes it. So, it's a bona fide Sampradaya because he's accepting Sri Bhashya. But what has happened? Because he's so powerful, Acharya, he can change the spithis here and there, like initiation to woman. Prabhupada started. It was never in Gaudiya. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur never initiated any woman. Yes. Have you seen a lady disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur?
Prabhupada's sister used to say,
God
sister also.
Huh? It's like, okay, accepting, I accept him as Guru. But have you seen Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur giving beads to any lady? No. He has not done that. But a powerful acharya like Prabhupada can change certain things here and there. Not the principles though. Principles cannot be changed. He will not change also. So, Sahajanand Swami, according to seeing the Gujaratis there, he changed certain things which for their convenience. Like worship of the deity should be done according to proper time, place or time. Wake up in the morning, Rajbhog in the afternoon, Uttanarthi this time, Shayanarthi 9 o'clock. Vallabhacharya saw these Gujaratis are too much into business, they want to make money. They cannot do whole day worship. They have to go to their dukan by 12 o'clock. What he told, okay, you finish the entire day program from morning 5 o'clock till 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Shayanarthi happens for their Allah. Yes?
Shayanarthi
at 10 o'clock. Oh, now go. Do Danda. Because he's an Acharya, he can do that. He has the power to do that. He has not compromised with the philosophy nor worship, but true for the people there. The same way, Swami, but now people don't understand. They don't read what he has told. They are followers of Sri Vaishnava. Shivaishtava means you should follow what worship of Ranganatha, worship of Krishna. You should do that. You don't do that. Okay.
First, Isha Upanishad. Second, Kena Upanishad. Third, Khata Upanishad. Fourth, Prasana Upanishad. Fifth, Mukunda.
Prashna.
Prashna Upanishad. Fifth is Mukundaka Upanishad.
Mundaka.
Mundaka Upanishad. Sixth is Mandukya Upanishad.
Mandukya. Yeah, because the diacritics are not there, you are finding difficulty. That's all.
Seventh, Taittiriya Upanishad. Eighth, Aitriya Upanishad. Ninth, Chandogya Upanishad. Then, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. 11th, Svetashvara Upanishad.
Yeah, read further. Names are there.
Darshana means sight or vision. In the Vedanta philosophy, the first question is, what is the source of everything? There are philosophers who saw different stages of the original source and explained philosophy according to their vision. These are known as darshanas. They are also known as shad darshanas, two systems of philosophy.
Okay. So now we are coming to the six systems of philosophy. What they are. So you have Upanishads. What are Upanishads known as? They are the end of Veda. They are known as what?
Vedanta.
No, after writing his Vedanta, Vyasa, he just left it. Then what happened? They came, these six philosophers. And then they studied the Upanishads. They studied the Upanishads. All of them studied the same Upanishads. And then asked one question to the Upanishads. That means, in other words, by studying the Upanishads, they want to come to a conclusion, who is the source of everyone? What is the source of everything? That means their question to the Upanishads was what? What is the source of everything? When they ask this question to the Upanishads, that means while reading the Upanishads, keeping this question in mind, they came to different conclusions. When Gautama studied the same Upanishads, he concluded what? Atoms are the source of everything.
Like our modern scientists.
When Kanada read the same Upanishads, he said combination of atoms is the source of everything. Combination of it. It's all in your notes, don't worry. Open the next page, you'll get it. When Kapila, he read the Upanishads, what did he conclude? The material nature is the source of everything. When Patanjali read the same Upanishads, he came to the conclusion of what? The universal consciousness is the source of everything. When Jaimini read the same Upanishads, he came to the conclusion of karma is the source of everything. When Shankara or the Mayavadis read the same Upanishads, they came to the conclusion of impersonal Brahma is the source of everything. So, the six systems of philosophy are nothing but six varieties of conclusions after studying the Upanishads.
Here it is mentioned as Vyasa.
Why I am not taking Vyasa is because Vyasa is not a Mayavadi. Okay. Wait. So now, Shankara, when he gave a commentary, he took Vyasa's Vedanta Sutras and then gave a commentary. So, Vyasa's Vedanta Sutras has two kinds of commentaries. One is by Shankara, impersonalist, other is personalist. By Imbaraka, Vishnu Swami, like that. So keep them away. Keep that. Consider that to be the seventh one. So when you talk about six systems, we are actually talking about the five: Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya Yoga, Purva Mimamsa. Within the Uttara Mimamsa, the Mayavad commentary. That is the sixth one. Okay. Now the six systems of philosophy are nothing but what? Six kinds of confusions. Yeah. If you read something and come up with some other conclusion, means what is confusion? The six systems of philosophy are nothing but six kinds of confusion. Now, what one good thing they did? Whatever confusions are there in the entire world, they summarize it in six categories. In other words, these great sages, they are very expert in summarizing and categorizing the conclusions of every living entity right from Brahma to ant. Right from Brahma till ant. Any confusion of the absolute truth anybody can have in this world were all nicely summarized and categorized by these six sages. If you read these six systems of philosophy, you will be very expert in knowing how people are confused in this world. Because any book written by any other philosopher in the West or anywhere, it is unorganized presentation of confusion. But this is very organized way of presenting your confusion. So which is better to know? When you know what is confusion in an organized way, you can easily find out this is the confusion, but he is also confused within that. And that is why you are able to pinpoint it and you are able to answer it properly. Prabhupada used to answer anybody's question like that, thut thut. Why? Because he knew the organized
intrusions.
So that is why you don't have to read any philosophy. Any other philosophy other than Krishna consciousness is confusion. So not only by you know the right philosophy, but also exactly you know where they are wrong, where they are confused. That is why those who know the six systems of philosophy, they give a correct answer for any question in this world. Otherwise, somebody will say something and the answer will be something else. And then say, is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what happens to the person. He'll not be satisfied. Like one devotee say, how to control the senses. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Saradharman Pratitya Mamekam Sharana Praja. He says, my problem is, I am not able to control the senses. Prabhupada said so. You are speaking right, but the point is, you are not addressed this. See, when you go in preaching, of course, holy name, all these things are there. At the same time, when somebody asks you a question, you should give justified answer to it. Like when somebody asked Prabhupada, Professor Katowski, Swamiji, we believe in nature. And Prabhupada told, whose nature? Okay, we heard in India that you have caste system. He got a blow on the face. No more argument. As soon as he told, we believe in nature, Prabhupada knew he is speaking Sankhya. And what is the defect in Sankhya? They don't accept a person who is controlling the nature. When you say nature, it is somebody's, isn't it? So what did Prabhupada say? Whose nature? Immediately understood. He's an intelligent. He's not a fool. He accepted his defeat. That is why he shifted the subject. You get the point? So, if anybody asks any question, when you answer it, it should be the end. No more dragging here and there. That can only happen when you are like, it's like throwing a stone exactly under the mango. You can pinpoint and then throw. So, you need to pinpoint his confusion. Then only it will be put off. Otherwise, you throw stone somewhere else, he will create another confusion. So you will bring more and more questions, then you will be confused in the Vyasasana. It happens, many of the preachers, they cannot handle questions. They can give very good class, but handling questions is the most important part of your lecture. Whenever you are going in presentation, you go for Bhagavata classes, courses, anywhere you go, you are well prepared for the class. Are you prepared for the question answers? And that is the that comes out of experience and knowledge. So handling questions, that is where the skill of a speaker of Krishna consciousness is measured. So you should all be prepared for that. And you need to answer any question, but how you should answer? How you can answer? Only when you know what is his problem, what is his confusion. A doctor can give medicine only when he understands what is his disease. Otherwise, if he gives some medicine, because I have, this is the medicine which I have. This is what is the medicine I have, I give it. What will happen? He'll come with another disease. So just because you know certain things, that doesn't mean that is the answer for his. And ultimately, when the organ becomes heated, what will happen? Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And you go away. That's what Prabhupada told. Prabhupada told many other things also. So, that is why the six system. That is why Prabhupada says in the first canto, first chapter of Bhagavatam, what did he say? A person is qualified to sit on the Vyasasan only when he knows this. That doesn't mean you go on studying six systems. You study Prabhupada books, there are six systems of philosophy in that also. Because he has raised their objections, he has answered them. While reading them, then automatically you know the six systems of philosophy. Because to know something in a complete manner means you should know what is right and what is wrong. Both should be learned. Learning only something right is not complete knowledge. Because later on you may think something wrong to be right. So complete knowledge means knowing what? Both right and both wrong. If you don't know what is right, then also problem. If you don't know what is wrong, then also is problem. So both should be known. What is right philosophy and what is wrong philosophy. When you know the right philosophy, you will present the right philosophy. That is called Fuamata Sthapana. When you know the wrong philosophy, you will do the Paramata Khandama. The wrong philosophy can be destroyed. So both Swamata Sthapana and Paramata Khandana, both should go simultaneously. Okay? Okay, these are six systems of philosophy.
Philosophies are different degrees of forgetfulness of Krishna.
Okay, I say confusion, same thing. Forgetfulness of Krishna can lead to confusion. I put it in a more gross way, that's all. Here it is written in a more nice way.
There are six systems of philosophy in understanding where everything came from. Each one says what is the source of everything, and in deciding what is the source, they are seeing different intermediate sources.
So you remember the example of that kid, the baby. They are saying, he's seeing intermediate sources. Okay.
So they are not wrong, they are incomplete. So Vyasadeva, in his Brahma Sutras, he defeats these six systems. In other words, he establishes where everything came from, Janmadyasyatha, that is his sutra. Athato Brahma Jigyasa, Janmadyasyatha, from where everything comes from. When establishing where everything comes from, he defeats their understanding where everything comes from. So he has written this, the six philosophical treatises. First, Nyaya propounded by Gautama, Vaisheshika propounded by Kannada, Sankhya propounded by Kapila, Yoga propounded by Patanjali, Purva Karma Mimamsa propounded by Jaimini, Uttara Brahma Mimamsa propounded by Vyasa.
Is
Kapila
is
the son of
Devahuti? No. Different, Asuri Kapila. That Kapila is different. Prabhupada talks about it. Mm-hmm. When you come to second chapter, 39th verse, you'll have about it. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nyaya Darshana, the philosophy of logic, maintains that the atom is the cause of possible manifestation. Vaisheshika Darshana, the philosophy of specialized logic, maintains that the combination of atoms is the cause of cosmic manifestation. Sankhya Darshana, philosophy of analytical study, maintains that the material nature is the cause of cosmic manifestation. Yoga Darshana, philosophy of mystic perfections, maintains that the universal consciousness is the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Purva Karma Mimamsa Darshana, philosophy of actions and reactions, maintains that fruitive activities are the cause of the cosmic manifestation. Uttara Brahma Mimamsa Darshana has two different categories. The impersonalists maintain that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is the cause of cosmic manifestation. after studying the six philosophical theses, Vyasadev completely summarized them all in his Vedanta Sutra Darshan. The absolute truth is the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. Anyone who wants to establish his own philosophy certainly cannot explain any scripture according to the principle of the direct interpretation. Among the six kinds of philosophers, up to the impersonalist Brahma-mimamsa philosophers, none really cares for the supreme personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes. We are always busy refuting the philosophical duties of the others and establishing them.
Yeah.
Buddhist and Jainists, they fall under which category of confusion?
They are atheists. They don't accept Veda. We are talking about Vedic confusion.
Okay.
That is non-Vedic confusion.
Non-Vedic.
Ah, non-Vedic. And these, all these things, they call themselves Vedic. Because they are studying Upanishads. For all of them, Veda is Praman. There is nothing beyond Veda. Don't talk anything Veda. Anybody talks against Veda, even Nyaya, Gautama says, anybody talks against Veda, he should be killed. Just imagine. So just because somebody took the flag of Veda, doesn't mean that he is a theistic person. And this is a Vedic atheism. So there are two kinds of atheism. Vedic atheism, non-Vedic. Buddhism and Jains are there, non-Vedic atheists. And these people are? Even Patanjali, he says, Paramatma, Ishwar Pranidhana. He says, Ishwar Pranidhana means, you should worship Ishwara. Vyasa proved that he is an atheist. Patanjali, even though he says Paramatma, Paramatma, God, but Vyasa, while giving a commentary on
Vedanta Sutra,
he gave a commentary not only on Vedanta Sutra, he not only wrote Vedanta Sutra, Vyasa gave a commentary on Patanjali Sutras,
okay.
Yoga Sutras. While giving a commentary on Patanjali Yoga Sutras, Vyasa has proved out how
wrong
is different. He is atheist. Patanjali is atheist, that is what Vyasa has proved. So, this is all Vedic atheism. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saramdacharis in that conversation, after last bomb which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shot on Saramdacharis, you are worse than Buddhist. That was like, could not tolerate. See, Shankaracharya was a person who started revolution against the Buddhists. His whole aim was to get the Buddhists out and bring back Vedic authority. Okay? Now, to such a staunch follower Shankara, you go and tell your Vajrayana Buddhist, they will be struck. Why? Then at least Buddhists say they don't accept Veda and tell we are atheist. But you
accept the Vedas
and then you are talking atheism? A thief is honest to tell I am a thief. But if a police, if he starts doing theft, so you are what?
Worse than
a police is a thief. A police thief is worse than a thief. A Vedic atheists are worse than
non-Vedic.
That's true. So this is all summarization about the six systems of philosophy.
The principle of direct interpretation, that's first line of the last paragraph. It's the principle of direct
Avidya Vritti. That all comes under conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Saramadachari. There are two ways of interpreting. One is direct, other is indirect. This is indirect interpretation. Like word Krishna. Krishna means black. Black means nothing. Nothing means everything. Yeah. How can you say nothing is everything? Tell me. They prove with logic. That is called indirect interpretation.
What is universal consciousness?
Assumed Paramatma. You give a word, Paramatma, like x in the mathematical equation. He is not in the beginning, X is not in the beginning, not in the end. In the middle, you have X everywhere. That is what Patanjali, Paramatma, 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 he says, how maintain Paramatma? Where was he in the beginning? No, actually, he is not there. It's for our convenience. You assume this black spot to be God. Assume. Because you require something to assume. And gradually by meditating on it, neither the black spot is there, neither you are there, neither your mind is there, nothing is there. So black spot was not there before, it will not be after. It is only a means for your so-called liberation.
It's mentioned Uttara Mimamsa has two categories.
I told now, one is Vaishnava, other is Mayavad.
So it's in Prabhupada's books, like all these philosophies he has raised questions and answered.
Anything, everything is done.
Karma Mimamsa means karma is supreme.
Yes. You want to know about Karma Mimamsa? I'm specifically avoiding not to speak of this existence of philosophy. I don't want to confuse you because it's all confusions. Since you asked the question of Karma Mimamsa philosophy, according to Jaimini, sum and substance of Jaimini's Karma Mimamsa philosophy is karma is superior to Krishna. Means you do the hard work, you will get it. That means you are controlling Krishna by your hard work. So Krishna is just only a person who is supreme, the principles of karma is supreme. So, the Artesha Bhagna Swarat, Krishna is? That they don't accept. He says he is God. But what is the position of God? Subservient to karma. So, our work is worship and all this karma, he, wo hai, and all these things, they all come from that only. Kaam hi puja hai, that is ye hai, grahak wo hai. Anything other than, they say that the dukan people, they write. Grahak bhagwan hai, that is ye.
This nyaya propounded by Gautama is the same which we are talking about, nyaya prasthan.
No.
Logic, that is different.
This is, the nyaya prasthan is Vedanta. All this refutation of these things, establishment of the right thing through logic, that is called Nyaya Prasthan. This is the name of one of the philosophies, six systems of philosophies.
Wonder how they were disciples of Vyasadeva and by the will of Krishna.
Just by becoming disciple, that doesn't mean, just by taking initiation doesn't mean you are a disciple. Very careful. I'm discipling such and such a person. But what are you doing? That's more important. It happened. A few days back, one devotee came and told, Prabhuji, I am Radhanath Maharaj's disciple. I told, are you following what he says? He was like shocked. He was afraid. I told, Prabhuji, what are you saying? Are you following what he says? That's my question. Of course, I know him, he also knows me. I was free to talk to him. So, okay, we stop here. You have your prasadam. 3 o'clock, what? It's like half an hour to go from here, isn't it? 3 o'clock will do. See, by the time it's 1:20 now. We go there, but it will be 2 o'clock. So, 1 hour rest. By the time you finish prasad, it will be 2 o'clock. 1 hour rest. 3 o'clock we leave from here. Half an hour it will take to go there. Then we'll finish up that there. By the time we reach 3:30, it will be a little bit cool at that time because the mountain is there now from that. The sun will go through that. Okay?
There is any reason why it is called Purva Karma Uttara Karma?
Pura means something which was presented before. Uttara means the later part. That's
reference. Might be with some reference before and after.
टाइम इसके पूर्व हुआ है, पूर्व मतलब बिफोर, इट्स हिंदी वर्ड इज इट,
पूर्व बिफोर
इन दैट सेंस.
How to repeat that? This problem, answer that he says.
Very dangerous. They are the most dangerous people in the among all the six karmakandis, or the karmimamsa, puramimamsa. They are very dangerous. But for the sake of, you know, Krishna saved us. Not many scholars of karmimamsa are left. They are in the entire of Vyasa. Whole Vedanta Sutras, he starts addressing them first. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Generally, what we say? Since we have been human form of life, since you got a human form of life, you should inquire into the Absolute Truth. That is what Vyasa says, isn't it? Now, that is why this eating, sleeping, mating, defending is for, meant for? So, you got human body, so you should do what? You should inquire into Absolute Truth. But actually, that aphorism is not for anybody. It is, Vyasa is directing to those who are practicing Karmimamsa or Purvimamsa. He says, Athato, since you are fed up with your rituals, since you are fed up with all your enjoyment of doing so many sacrifices, so much of karma, now you inquire. It is actually not animals. You are addressing to very high class Brahmins who are doing swaha, swaha for their whole life, who have been vegetarians, who only accepted things after sacrifice. It is for them. Because the objection was, we are practicing dharma, so why require to inquire into the Absolute Truth? Then Vyasa says, Atha Atha. Since your enjoyment is temporary. And even if you go to Swarga, that is also temporary. And that is why inquiring into the Absolute Truth is required. No. Why we have to inquire into the Absolute Truth? Because you people who propose Upanishads and Jnana and all inquiry into the Absolute Truth, you only tell in the Isha Upanishad what is there? Second verse? Second? No, second? कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविचेच्छतम् समा. He says, जिजीविचेच्छतम् समाः. You only told, na? Live for hundreds of years very happily. Then Vyasa says, yeah, true. Live for 100 years. How? Knowing Ishavashyavidam sarvam. So for that you have to inquire. Without inquiry, how will you come to know? So that is how Vedanta goes. Very complicated. Very complicated. Somebody told us, some Chinmaya person went to the 2 years of Vedanta. Do you think they can speak like this? Prabhupada's books you read, everything you understood. Everything is there in that. So this is how Prabhupada argues in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, you know, the purports of Prachin Bhari, That section is a karma kanda thing is very grossly being defeated there by Prabhupada. Because the best karma kanda in the entire Bhagavatam is Prachina Pari. He did ajñas practically everywhere in the world. And then Narada says, just see all the animals you kill, they are just waiting for you. Isn't it?
These six philosophers, they don't worship any Vedic
Kathas. They all worship Shaligram.
They all follow Smriti. Don't say they are like, you know, the Max Muller who is putting cigar in their mouth. They are all Prabhu. They are sense controlled people. Kanada. You know who is Kanada? He is known as Akshapada. He was looking at his feet. Meditating. He saw the atoms are combining and he wrote a big philosophy. And if you see that, if the way they present it, so complicated, you feel that it's true. What he's saying is true. Like sometimes when the confused devotee goes to one devotee and he's, what should I do? He says, yeah, I should, yes. After some time he goes and asks him the same question to somebody. He was telling wrong. You are true. That's what happens, isn't it? Many people do that. You find asking the same question to many speakers. They speak the same thing in different ways, some here and there. And he thinks, you know, this is better, that is better, this way, he gets more confused. So it is like that. So that is why, don't try to read them, understand they are wrong. And if you ever want to know about it, good purpose, you come to know better about what they are speaking than what they are speaking, you will come to know better than what they wrote. You will come to know what is Nyaya better than Gautama if you read Prabhupada books.
So like Prabhuji, they do worship but they are confused.
Prabhuji, see, worship is different, philosophy is different. They all worship Shaligram Shiva. They are all Brahmins. Brahmin means you have to follow certain things, isn't it? So, acceptance of philosophy is different. You are following Smriti is different. All of them worship Shaligram Shila. All of them, they are worshipping somebody. But the concept of the object of worship. My word is, don't worship Krishna.
Worship.
But do they know who is Krishna? That is the point. So, philosophy is different. And your code of conduct is different. Worship and all comes under the code of conduct. That is what we are going to discuss in Pancharatra. Okay. Hare Krishna. You could not understand these things.
Impossible.